Get to know this COVID medicine, Paxlovid, it's called. I'm David Brancaccio. Pfizer has a new by-prescription set of pills to treat COVID at home. Regulators yesterday approved it for emergency use. The U.S. has spent billions to secure doses of the drug in advance, but supplies will be limited at first, and there's concern about access to the treatment both here and in lower-income countries. Marketplace's Nova Safo is following this.
Yeah, David, the U.S. is going to be spending a bit over $5 billion on this drug, which, of course, the name trips off the tongue, Paxlovid. The treatment is two pills twice a day for 5 days. As for other countries, Pfizer has applied for regulatory approval elsewhere, and it says it's going to use a tiered pricing approach so that countries that can't afford full price will pay a portion of it. And for countries that can't afford to pay much of anything, Pfizer says it's licensing out manufacturing to generic drug makers through a UN-backed organization. And that accounts for about half of the world's population, according to the company.
Now, the U.S. has locked in 10 million courses of treatment that also includes some pre-existing antiviral pills. When can people get the tablets?
So it's going to take a while because the drug is apparently complicated to make and it takes a long time to make it. So initially, there's going to be a very limited supply, even as we're seeing a surge in Omicron. The government hopes to have those 10 million doses delivered within 6 months. And by the end of January, Pfizer says the U.S. will have 250,000 treatments. The company is looking to potentially partner with outside manufacturers, too, to speed things up. And the other challenge is that the drug has to be taken quickly. Patients need a COVID test to get it. So a lot of challenges for patients to navigate, too.
Also this hour, word that another pill to treat COVID, this one from Merck, less effective in tests, has been approved for use as well. There's news Americans spent 0.6% more in November versus October, and the measure of inflation favored by Federal Reserve policymakers shows prices up 5.7% in a year, the most since 1989. Let's bring in Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, as we do on Thursdays. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we got a lot of data here that they're trying to get out on the table before people stop paying attention. How are you reading this economy right now?
Well, all the data that we got out suggests that the U.S. economy was, in fact, growing probably at the fastest speed it had the entire year in the fourth quarter. And that's the good news. The bad news is all the data we got is pretty much pre-Omicron.
But even before the Omicron headlines, this data show it was not all sweetness and light because of inflation.
Exactly. What we saw was consumer spending, personal consumers spending actually was flat after adjusting for inflation, and incomes actually fell. The saving rate fell again in the month of November. And that's important because what we're seeing is the inflation eroding away at income gains. Confidence by the conference board is higher, and that's because the employment and labor market situation is better. The consumer sentiment data that we've already gotten out for the month is actually going in the opposite direction. It's just unprecedented to have a booming economy with this much heat.
Diane Swonk, she's the chief economist at Grant Thornton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
IT departments and cybersecurity specialists have been scrambling to deal with a dangerous vulnerability in a common piece of software called Log4j. It's in all kinds of programs, video games, business software, internet-connected devices. Now that this hacking opportunity has been discovered, the race is on to find a strategy to build defenses, Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
Log4j is software that creates a log of what other software is doing. Like if an application crashes, a log can help someone identify the problem.
Is it out of memory? Is the file too big? You know, what's the problem with the code and why can't it work correctly?
That's Chester Wisniewski with the security company Sophos. He says hackers figured out how to trick Log4j into writing other things into its log, like, say, a virus, a worm, or another piece of malicious code.
It literally means somebody remotely can tell your computer to run their code without your permission.
Wisniewski says we still don't know the scale of the vulnerability, The Log4j software is free and open source, so it could be in millions of programs.
We know it's a lot of places, but we don't know where it is, which is one of the major risks right now.
That has a lot of businesses worried about their enterprise software, the programs they use to run their day-to-day operations. Jonathan Kerr is an analyst with the research and consulting company Gartner.
We all need to invoke our formal severe incident response measures.
Kerr has been advising business clients on how to protect themselves and identify anything that might be exposed.
Think about places you wouldn't normally think about, like where you have remote workers. And of course, we all have remote workers these days.
Kerr says this isn't just an internal problem for businesses. They're also exposed to the software their vendors and suppliers use. In a lot of cases, software companies have been able to patch the vulnerability. But that's not necessarily quick and simple, says Jeff Pollard, an analyst at the research company Forrester.
There's a lot of things that go into patching. You have to test it. You have to verify that it'll work. You have to make sure it doesn't break anything else. You have to get it distributed.
Pollard says attackers have already been figuring out ways to exploit the bug. And even as patches are released,
this is one of those things that we'll keep encountering a year or two down the road, where there will still be apps that are vulnerable to this that maybe someone missed, maybe someone didn't realize.
In the meantime, every security expert I talk to says it's a good idea for all of us to update the software on all of our devices. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.